Hey, my friends, we will be right back to the show. But I have a question for you. Are you struggling with the impact of childhood trauma? Well, know that you're not alone. I'm here to let you know that I'm starting a brand new weekly coaching group that includes a year of life coaching, accountability, support, habit and goal setting, and more. I'm starting a waitlist for the group right now, and I'm only taking a handful of people. And I'll let you know that through this personalized coaching, we'll work together to help you understand how your childhood trauma has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, emotions, and we'll help you create a roadmap for healing and growth. Right now, you can schedule an absolutely free coaching session with me and get put on the wait list if you go to thinkunbroken.com. My friends, it's your time to turn your trauma into triumph, breakdowns into breakthroughs, and become the hero of your own story. And I'm here to support you in doing that. Just go to thinkunbroken.com to register for a free coaching call with me and to get put on the wait list for the brand new weekly coaching program.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, my friends, we will be right back to the show. But I have a question for you. Are you struggling with the impact of childhood trauma? Well, know that you're not alone. I'm here to let you know that I'm starting a brand new weekly coaching group that includes a year of life coaching, accountability, support, habit and goal setting, and more. I'm starting a waitlist for the group right now, and I'm only taking a handful of people. And I'll let you know that through this personalized coaching, we'll work together to help you understand how your childhood trauma has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, emotions, and we'll help you create a roadmap for healing and growth. Right now, you can schedule an absolutely free coaching session with me and get put on the wait list if you go to thinkunbroken.com. My friends, it's your time to turn your trauma into triumph, breakdowns into breakthroughs, and become the hero of your own story. And I'm here to support you in doing that. Just go to thinkunbroken.com to register for a free coaching call with me and to get put on the wait list for the brand new weekly coaching program. We'll be right back to today's show, but before we do, I want to let you know that you can get a free copy of my first book, Think Unbroken, Understanding and Overcoming Childhood Trauma, when you leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts, either on desktop or on your phone. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts, look up Think Unbroken, click follow in the top right, and then go and leave a review at the bottom. And when you leave that review, screenshot it and send it over to book.thinkunbroken.com. where you can upload your contact and mailing information, and we will send you a free copy of this award-winning best-selling book, absolutely free, including shipping. Just go to book.thinkunbroken.com to upload your screenshot review from Apple Podcasts for the Think Unbroken podcast. And until next time, my friend, be unbroken. I'll see ya. Hey, my friends, we will be right back to the show. But I have a question for you. Are you struggling with the impact of childhood trauma? Well, know that you're not alone. I'm here to let you know that I'm starting a brand new weekly coaching group that includes a year of life coaching, accountability, support, habit and goal setting, and more. I'm starting a waitlist for the group right now, and I'm only taking a handful of people. And I'll let you know that through this personalized coaching, we'll work together to help you understand how your childhood trauma has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, emotions, and we'll help you create a roadmap for healing and growth. Right now, you can schedule an absolutely free coaching session with me and get put on the wait list if you go to thinkunbroken.com. My friends, it's your time to turn your trauma into triumph, breakdowns into breakthroughs, and become the hero of your own story. And I'm here to support you in doing that. Just go to thinkunbroken.com to register for a free coaching call with me and to get put on the wait list for the brand new weekly coaching program. You're listening to the Think Unbroken podcast, and I'm your host, Michael Unbroken. I'm an author, speaker, coach, and advocate for adult survivors of childhood trauma and abuse. In this podcast, you will learn how to transform your trauma into triumph, turn breakdowns into breakthroughs, and go from victim to being the hero of your own story. You can learn more at thinkunbrokenpodcast.com, and of course, check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify at Think Unbroken Podcast. Hey, what's up, Unbroken Nation? Hope that you're doing well wherever you are in the world today. Super excited to be joined by my guest, Travis Chappell, who is the CEO of Guestio, host of top-rated show Build Your Network, and is an entrepreneur. Travis, my friend, how are you today? What is going on in your world?
Doing well, man. Doing pretty well. How are you?
Good, brother. I'm super excited to have you on. To create a little context here, before we jump in and talk a little bit about your story and your history, can you tell us a little bit about your journey and what's led you to where you are today?
Yeah, man. So just kind of quick 30,000 foot view. Grew up in an extremely religious household. I call it a bubble. I don't refer to it as a cult, even though I think it has a lot of those tendencies. But that's kind of how I grew up, very one-track minded. I ended up going to a ministerial college that happened to be on the same campus that I also went to kindergarten and high school and junior high, elementary, everything all the way through, and the same campus that I also went to church. So quite literally the first, 20 years of my life were lived on this 140-acre campus. And by the time I graduated college, I realized I didn't want to be in ministry. But I, at that point, I had a degree in Bible and church ministries. And to add salt to the wound, it was an unaccredited degree in Bible and church ministries, which doesn't really, there's not big companies laying out the red carpet for you when you're coming out of a college like that for you to go work. So I did the only thing I knew how to do at the time, which was door-to-door sales, and then set a goal to make six figures doing that. Did that my first year. And at the end of the year, instead of being happy about it, I found myself just kind of wondering what I was going to do next because I realized I didn't want to do that for a long period of time. Dove into personal development, back against the wall, just trying to figure out what in the world I was going to tackle, what I was going to do, what I was going to do with not even in just the next couple of years, but what am I going to do with my career, what am I going to do with my life? And podcasting was one of those things that I turned thing and ended up coming that I doing my and I kept going down that direction and own show a few years ago, letting coaching and coursework, teaching entrepreneurs how to build profitable podcasts, and then also led to creating this software company that I'm now the founder called Guestio. So yeah, that's just kind of a quick synopsis bringing us up to this point.
Yeah, man, you've had quite the journey. You know, what I think is really fascinating is the impact that our past often has on us and the trajectory for our future. Growing up in that capacity, how much of your childhood experiences do you think have actually impacted or shaped, whether good or bad, who you are today?
It's everything, man. Both good and bad in that sense. There's a lot, I think there's pros and cons to how everybody grew up. Everybody's got stories and, there's certainly good things that came out of it and there's certainly bad things that came out of it. I try to focus on the good things. And I think some of those things are reasons why I at least had some sort of a natural proclivity toward podcasting or content creation in general. Because I was speaking on stage when I was 12 years old and I was in front of people all the time doing preaching contests and reciting, comedy sketches and doing just always in front of people, always learning how to be a better communicator. I was forced to grow up really quickly. I was forced to mature really quickly. In that type of culture, they encourage you to get married extremely young because there's no in-between phase between teenager and adulthood. In that culture, it's just very much you're done being a teenager. Now it's time to become an adult. So I was married at 21. I had a mortgage when I was 21 and I was paying my own bills. I had all, everything was in my name. I was a responsible adult, and I had to grow up really, really fast because of that. And I think that that by itself has cons, but that by itself also has pros, So, that you just got to kind of take the good with the bad and focus on the good parts and the positives. And, I'm certainly thankful now for a lot of the strong moral convictions that I was raised with. I'm certainly thankful for the value systems that I'm able to put into place and for the responsibility that I took from a young age to continue building on things. So, you know, there's, like I said, you know, I've had to work through a lot of some of the negative things, like bad mindsets and poor mindsets, money mindset. There's a lot of those types of things. You know, I you know, certainly wish that I would have been able to set myself up for an easier or at least more clear or direct path to a career rather than having to try to figure out what I wanted to do with my life when I was 23. I probably should have been thinking more about that when I was 15 and not just being forced into a, you know, as a square peg, being forced into a round hole. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of those things that have impacted the way that I live my life now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the case scenario for all of us. And, you know, one of the things I'm really interested in here with your story and your journey is finding success, especially at a young age and looking at that, of course, this idea, you know, you had to go in the field, you had to pull weeds as a kid to get the things that you wanted in your life in a literal sense, growing up in the environment that you did. And you asked Tom Bilyeu this question that I'm really fascinated with that I actually want to ask you. And it was this: do you think that the potential of rising to your own potential is built within being in mediocrity?
Do I think? Do I think the potential of reaching my own potential, you're saying?
Yeah, it's built in mediocrity. I think the way that you had the conversation with him was very much in looking at and creating a measurement for, is rock bottom like this moment in which you create massive change in your life?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a, you know what? I've asked that question to a lot of people actually now that I'm understanding what the question was. I find so often that happens to be the case, especially for people that have extreme success in some sort of capacity in their life. It's usually triggered by some sort of a rock bottom. And I find that people who are constantly in the middle, who are constantly mediocre, they don't have as much of that chip on their shoulder or that kick in the pants to motivate them to go out there and go tackle something. And so my question is always, okay, well, if you find yourself in that situation, what can you do to motivate yourself to get to that point without hitting rock bottom? And, you know, I look back to in my past and I don't really look at any of the moments as rock bottom. And I think that a lot of times that by itself can be the trap for some people, is that they're waiting for this moment that's probably never going to come, or they're too scared of rock bottom to take big risks and excel in life. But to answer your question, man, I have found that more often than not, there is a rock bottom associated with it, or at least some sort of a base level understanding of what it means to have nothing, or to be in poverty or something. But I definitely don't think that I ever, you know, looking back, hit rock bottom, especially with the stories and things that I've uncovered in my own podcast and journey. I wouldn't look back in my past and think a rock bottom moment. You know, it was pretty big bummer sometimes, you know, like when I was sitting there trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life at 23 and I had a mortgage to pay and I knew that my degree was useless and I knew that my only skill set, which was door-to-door sales, wasn't translating to the real sales world. I couldn't get a job anywhere doing sales for an actual organization. Nobody would hire me. I felt unhirable, felt like a failure. And I know I was only 23 at the time, but you know, I grew up really quickly and expected to be further along in a career at that point, and I wasn't. And that was a back against the wall moment for sure. But I wouldn't necessarily say that it was rock bottom. I just think that I had other motivations, and I was able to look at enough people and figure out what I wanted out of life enough to dig in and find some real motivation to start climbing the mountain, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that first off, it's incredible. And part of that might be your mindset already coming into this, like looking at this idea of failure, perhaps even not even labeling that in your own experience. Like, I got to pay this mortgage. I can't get the career. I got the degree that's seemingly useless, even though I've done all this work. Okay, I'm not going to let that stop me. And what I hear in this is this idea of taking like radical acceptance and responsibility for your life,
sure.
Right? Why does that actually matter, Travis? Because people hear this, but they don't listen. Like, why does radical acceptance and responsibility actually matter?
Dude, if you can't take responsibility for anything, then how do you How do you improve? How do you change? How do you grow? How do you get better? If nothing's ever your fault and everything's out of your control, then I guess we should just keep blowing through life and hope that the universe does us right and puts good opportunities in front of us and, you know, sets us up for success. And to me, that's just a really disempowering way of moving throughout life. If nothing's up to you, then how do you make it better? You know what I mean? And a lot of times what you see is people who love to take responsibility when things are going well, but hate taking responsibility when things are going poorly. And I think also people get the notion that if they take responsibility, that means it's their fault. And that's not what it means. You know, it's like, well, people will come up with these crazy extenuating circumstances. Like, well, what about this crazy situation of abuse that happened to me when I was a kid? It was complete. Like, am I responsible for that? And it's like, well, I mean, you're responsible for that going forward. Yes. But was that your fault? No. Like, you don't have to take fault for that. That was not your fault. But now you do have the responsibility to decide what are you going to do about it moving forward? Meaning that, you know, if you look back to my story in particular, you know, was it my fault that I was, you know, pushed into this career path and into a college that provided me with a useless degree upon leaving that I would never be able to use in real life? And I had to figure out my career after, you know, being in a position where I was married and had a mortgage to pay. Like, is that my fault that I was in that situation? Probably not. You might be able to argue that I was because I was an adult when I made those decisions. But I mean, literally my entire life, my brain was programmed to think a certain way. And that's the actions that I took were based on the thoughts and behaviors and mindset that I was taught growing up. But regardless of whose fault it was, at that point in time, it was 100% my responsibility to figure out what I was going to do about it. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is to sit there, whine and complain about the fact that you know, poor me, because I grew up this way in this weird culture that nobody really understands or gets or can empathize with. And so now, you know, I'm not set up for life like my friend that I met last week, who was raised in this other household in a different part of the country and got into this Ivy League school and became a lawyer and has a great, you know, career on Wall Street. Like, I wasn't set up for that. So may as well just sit here and feel sorry for myself. Like, I just don't understand what the alternative to taking responsibility is. Like, where do you think that's going to land you? It's only going to land you in a worse situation where you're feeling even worse for yourself. And then, you know, you end up not doing anything in life. And then you end up being that, you know, old person full of regret, full of remorse, and sitting there still blaming all of the other things and people and circumstances and events and everything that happened in your life for your lack of success and your lack of happiness and your lack of fulfillment. And to me, like, it doesn't matter what situation you're born into. You can sit there and wish all day that you were born into a different situation or that you had different opportunities or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, you're the only one that has to wake up in the morning and look yourself in the mirror and be you. So you better figure it out and start thinking about the solution to the problem and not just continuing to stew on the problem, because it just doesn't do anything. Doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, it's powerful. And, you know, I've raised my hand first as being guilty of playing the victim role, finding myself at this complete, utter rock bottom, blaming the world, blaming homelessness as a child, the circumstance I've been through, you know, all of the world, because it's your fault, your fault, your fault. And then I started taking responsibility. And the truth of it is, like, we're not culpable for the things that happen to us as we're in developmental and even sometimes in life, you know what I mean? But there's that point where you do have to say, I'm going to be the hero of my own story, because guess what? There's no Disney moment. Nobody's coming to save you. Your life isn't magically going to be different. Right. And if I had a magic pill, dude, that's what it would be, because that's the key right there, what you just said. Like, you got to take responsibility. I was listening to you having a conversation about listening to Guy Raz and talking about this idea of dealing with and handling rejection. I have a theory that one of the reasons that people have such a difficult time with taking responsibility is this idea of rejection and embarrassment. And I know that in your own personal journey, like building businesses, trying things, knocking on doors, as someone who used to sell Cutco, I know that you have probably dealt with a litany of rejection and potential embarrassment. How do you deal with that in your life to catapult yourself forward?
That's a good question, man. I think success in business and sales and making money in general has to do with your ability to get rejected and then move on and try it again and continue to persist. And so the biggest, in a short period of time, the best way that I can help anybody listening to this handle rejection a little bit better is that the rejection, the pain of rejection is really just a symptom of a greater problem. If you're getting rejected and it hurts you to the point where you're like quitting things, or you're almost quitting things, or you're constantly thinking about quitting things because the rejection hurts too bad, that's just the symptom of the greater problem. And the greater problem is your lack of self-confidence. Self-confidence is the root of the rejection problem. And so it's your responsibility to realize that this is why this rejection is hurting me, because my confidence level is just too low to be able to recoup from. So I look at it kind of like a bank account. Every time you get rejected, it's like a withdrawal from your bank account. It's something debited from your account. But you can make deposits into that account just like you can make withdrawals from that account. And so a few ways to do that is to start depositing more into your self-confidence. So listening to a podcast like you're listening to right now can help increase your self-confidence, because you're learning something. You're increasing your knowledge. The more knowledge you gain in an industry or a field that you're not familiar with, the more confident you'll be in your ability to navigate that field or that industry. So gaining knowledge, learning, getting new information, reading a book, listening to a podcast, that's going to be a deposit in your self-confidence bank. There's the consistency that's going to be a deposit in your self-confidence bank. Yeah, I've done this a bunch of times, you know, and I'm still alive. I didn't get hurt. Like thinking about the worst case scenario a lot helps me deposit into my self-confidence bank. Like, what's the absolute worst case scenario? Even when I was knocking on doors, the absolute worst case scenario is I knock on the store and they tell me to get their porch. Like, is that really that big of a deal? No, because the next guy probably isn't going to be that mean. The odds of that happening twice in a row are pretty low. So now I'm going to just go to the next house and see, you know, what it is. Like, just imagining the worst case scenario to me, and then like putting myself in that scenario, and then understanding that, you know what, I think I'm going to be okay if that happens. You know, if this person says no, that's the worst case scenario. They said no. Okay, who cares? Move on to the next person. Somebody's going to say yes. You know what I mean? So think about the worst case scenario as a deposit. But hands down, the best way to deposit into your self-confidence account is to keep the promises that you make to yourself. And this is why I think people have a huge problem with rejection and with confidence in general, is that they don't even like themselves. If you don't like yourself because you don't trust yourself, then how can you convince other people to like you and trust you? And that's the crux. That's the crux of all business. That's where business happens, is when people know, like, or trust you, or know, like, and trust you. So if you don't even like yourself, if you don't even trust yourself because you subconsciously know that you keep breaking promises to yourself over and over again, then you're going to portray or display that energy to other people, and they're going to pick up on that. Like, something's not trustworthy about this guy. Something's not trustworthy about this girl, because you don't even trust yourself, because you said that you were going to, you know, name it, right? You said you were going to read a book this month, and you got to the first chapter and you never did anything else. And then you gave up on it. You were going to wake up at 6 o'clock for the next week, and then you didn't do it on day two. Or you said that you were going to, you know, go to the gym, whatever it is, fill in the blank, even if it's the smallest possible thing. If you didn't keep that promise that you made to yourself, because you're overcommitting all the time to all these promises and all these commitments and all these goals that you're setting, because you hear these are good things to do, but you never follow through on any of them, you are consistently telling yourself that you are not trustworthy. And that's why you don't like yourself. That's why you don't trust yourself. And that's why you don't have any self-confidence. And that's why it hurts so bad when other people reject you. Because every time someone rejects you, it's just a validation of your subconscious thoughts about your own self, which is, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of somebody's trust. Because if you don't even believe those things about yourself, somebody else like confirms that, that's when that's big pain. Like, that's a big withdrawal from that self-confidence account. All you can do is try to mitigate those withdrawals. It's always going to hurt to be rejected. But if you can build in your self-confidence and you can build on promises that you make yourself, that's why, like, I don't make a lot of promises to myself. I used to do that. I used to be that guy that would be like, because it sounds awesome. You know, I'm going to wake up at this time. I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then like, you're 6 days into it and you forgot half the things because you have a list of 38 things to do. Like, I started making fewer commitments And then I kept every single one of them. And then that starts to build on itself over time. You start to create habits and those habits start to stack. And then when you look back over the course of time, you know, like I was always somebody that was that went to bed late. I never read anything. I was always the person that skipped out on the reading, you know, project in school and then wrote to a synopsis based on the back cover. You know, I hated reading. I hated getting up early. I was always late to school, all that stuff. Today, I was up at 4 a.m. I was at the gym at 5 a.m. I'm on a detox right now. So I've only taken shake. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my time. I've only taken shakes today and had a couple cups of coffee. And I read like 15 pages of the book that I'm going through right now. This is my fifth podcast interview today. Like that didn't just happen overnight. It was a result of a bunch of micro commitments that I kept keeping those promises that I made to myself. And over time, that confidence starts to build and you start going like, hey, last month when I said that I was going to not watch TV for the next 7 days, I did it. So now that I'm not watching TV, what can I do with that time? Oh, I'm going to start reading. Okay, let me just read 5 pages a day. That's it. 5 pages a day for a week. Oh, I kept that promise to myself. You start to believe that you can do whatever you put your mind to because you're seeing physical evidence of that progress in front of you on a daily basis. And when you start to know yourself and like yourself and trust yourself because you're actually keeping all the promises that you make to yourself, then people start to pick up on that energy as well. And that's how that confidence gets portrayed. And that's, to me, a big difference between people who are really, really good at sales and people who think they're really good at sales but aren't really that great at sales, is the fact that those people who are really, really good, they're extremely confident because they have a fantastic, impeccable relationship with themselves and other people really pick up on that. It's that subconscious stuff that you can't really portray in a conversation, but people get that sense from you because you've put in the work to be able to deserve the results that you're asking the universe for. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, you got to keep the promises that you make to yourself or you know, you're always going to portray yourself as that person to other people. It's crazy to me that people hold other relationships to a higher standard than they hold their relationship to themselves, if that makes sense. I was giving this talk the other day and a guy in the audience comes up to me and go, man, I never really thought about it that way. But I definitely do that. Like if I commit to somebody in my life, if I make a promise to somebody in my life, I keep it 100% of the time. I do not break my promises, but I always break my promises to myself. And it's like, why do we do this? Why do we allow ourselves to introduce this negative self-talk? You know what I mean? Where you sit there when you're in one of those bad moods and you're just like, oh, you're such a piece of shit. And you start talking all this crap about yourself to yourself. And it's like, man, if any single one of my friends talked to me the way that I'm thinking about myself right now, I would be like, go f*** yourself. We're not friends anymore. You know what I mean? Like, but so, for some reason, we allow ourselves to treat ourselves like shit sometimes. And then we wonder why nobody likes us and nobody trusts us. It's like, you don't even like yourself, man. Like, how do you expect all these other people to pick up on the good qualities in you when you don't even see them? And because you don't believe that they're there because you're not even trustworthy to you. How are you going to keep a commitment to somebody else if you can't even keep that commitment, you know, to yourself? So I know that was a long, kind of long-winded answer, but.
I love it, man. I love it because look, you're speaking my language and I know that the Unbroken Nation listening right now, they've heard me say this before. You know, what you think becomes what you speak become your actions and your action become your reality. And it all starts with the way that you talk to yourself. The first thing I teach my clients is to take out a pen and a piece of paper and write down, I am the kind of person who is kind to myself. And then to leverage that till you believe it, because at the beginning you don't, and it takes work and effort and you build this thing called momentum, right? These micro wins, these small adjustments you make every single day that create a trajectory in which you go and look at your life in 7 years, not tomorrow, and you go, oh, awesome, I've been able to build this thing. So, you know, long-winded or not, man, I think you're spot on. And I love that. One of the things I think that interrupts people in this as they start to head into it is the fact that they're going to fail. You said something that really struck with me and I wrote it down and I remember it coming back to me again and again and again. And you said that you believe that people have to fail to reach the next success. What does that mean?
You have to be willing to risk a lot in order to be able to reach the next level of success. If you've never done something, how do you expect to be immediately successful at it when you're trying it out for the first time? Like, it doesn't even make sense. But people all the time prevent themselves from getting to the next level of success in life because they're looking at it as they're looking at it in a completely wrong light. You know what I mean? Like you have to be able to come to terms with the fact that, like, look, if I'm trying this new thing, you know, just because we're talking about podcast here, let's use that as an example. I'm going to start this podcast. And then they start a podcast. And then 6 months later, it didn't take off and didn't have 10 million downloads. Imagine that. And it's like, oh, well, I tried it and it didn't work. So they just keep staying at the level that they're currently at. They never level up, because every time you try to level up, like, failure is going to happen because you're doing something you've never done before. You can't expect just to pick up on something and be successful at it immediately. That's called being a genius or savant, which there are very few of in this world. And odds are you're not one of them, and neither am I. But the cool thing about it is that if you adopt that growth mindset that you can learn and grow into any role that you want to learn and grow into, then you can become that if you're willing to take the failure, if you're willing to take the L. And most people aren't, man. If there was a lack of this fear of embarrassment from failing, that's what gets me even worse than the failing part. Like, fearing failure is one thing, but most people fear failure because it's really a fear of embarrassment. They're fearing the fact that other people will see them fail. If you could, like, if you're sitting there listening and you could guarantee that if you took this big risk that you're thinking about taking, and if you failed at that, nobody would find out about it, I guarantee a large percentage of you would take that opportunity to go ahead and try the thing that you're thinking about trying. Go ahead and risk the thing that you're thinking about risking, but nobody would ever find out about it. And you're just like, ah, man, like, I would do it in that sense. But it's the fact that you don't really, it's not even fearing of the failure itself. It's like, it's fearing what other people are going to think about the fact that you failed. And you're letting that prevent you from ultimately reaching some level of success. And that's just not the way I want to live my life, man. It's too short-term thinking. You know, you got to think about, like, well, what is 10 years from now, Travis, going to be thanking me for? And what actions can I take now to, you know, to get to that point in my life where 39-year-old Travis is looking back at me going like, man, I'm really glad that you took those risks. I'm really glad that you took that L for us, because there's no way we'd be where we are now if you didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be willing to fail to reach that next level, because by definition, you're doing something you've never done before. You can't expect to be immediately successful at something you've never done before. It's madness. It doesn't even make any sense, but people do it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you're spot on. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the difference between success and failure in life is action. And on that pathway, you're going to fail. And you can use it as a data, or you can use it as something that stops you dead in your tracks. Travis, my friend, this has been an amazing conversation. Before I ask you my last question, can you tell everybody where they can find and connect with you?
Yeah. And real quick too, just to kind of use an illustration to bring that last point home, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
I try to look at it as, like, in baseball, how many at-bats do you get, right? Everybody wants to look at the one person in their life that they know that tried one thing one time and they were immediately successful at it. They look at the one example of a founder that started their very first company and exited for $1 billion. And it's like, well, and then they compare their lives to that. And, like, that's why I like to liken it to the at-bats thing, because, like, can you get lucky and step up to the plate and hit the first one out of the park? Sure. Is it likely to happen? No. It is absolutely not likely to happen. In fact, the vast majority of people, it will not happen to. So if you want to guarantee that you're going to be successful and eventually hit one out of the park, you're going to have to step up to bat again after you strike out the first time. And then after that, you're going to have to step up the bat again. And then you're going to have to step up the bat again. And then you have to step up the bat again. Like, the more swings you take, though, what starts to happen over time? You get better at it. You start figuring out that, like, oh, if I stand this way, or if I swing this way, or if I keep my eye on the pitcher, the way he's throwing the ball, like, then I can tweak and I can put my, you know, my weight behind the bat here, and then I can crank it this way. Like, you start to figure things out, and you learn throughout the process. Every time you're striking out, but you're learning something new every time. So when you step up to at bat number 38 or at bat number 72, you know, your odds of hitting that home run significantly go up. And that's the problem, is that people give up. Like they take 5 or 10 swings and then they're like, all right, I'm done. I tried it. And it's just like, well, you didn't want the end result bad enough. You didn't want to hit it out of the park bad enough, or else you'd still be stepping up and having more of those at bats. Cause it's only a matter of time. If you keep swinging, you keep learning, you keep putting in the work, you know, you're going to be able to hit it out of the park eventually. So I appreciate you for having me on the show, man. Thanks for doing some research and some preparation for this. Always makes for a better conversation. You guys can find me over at travisschappell.com. We're in the middle of redoing the site, so depending on when you go give us a visit, you might be seeing a little bit of outdated information, but all of my social links are up to date. My email's up to date. So if you want to contact me, travisschappell.com is a great place to find everywhere that I'm hanging out at.
Brilliant. Thank you, my friend. And my last question for you today is, what does it mean to you to be unbroken?
What does it mean to me to be unbroken? I think that it comes directly back to the confidence conversation that we had, because you're the only person that can look at yourself as being broken or unbroken. And if you allow yourself to go there mentally because you don't view yourself as being worthy, then it's going to be a lot easier for you to identify as someone that is broken. But if you can build up that self-confidence muscle, if you can continue to keep those promises that you're making to yourself and add to your self-worth, then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It literally doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It only matters what you think. So put some time, effort, energy, money, investment, whatever you can into building up that self-confidence, and it'll always come back.
I love it. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for being here. Unbroken Nation, thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, comment, share, leave a review, tell a friend. And until next time, my friends, be unbroken. I'll see ya. Thank you so much for listening to Think Unbroken. Please share this episode with someone who could use it and help us move forward in our mission of ending generational trauma in our lifetime. And if you would, please take 5 seconds to pop on iTunes or Spotify, hit that 5-star, leave a review, and you can also reach out to us on social at Michael Unbroken or at Think Unbroken. And of course, you can check out our YouTube channel at Think Unbroken. Thank you for being a part of Unbroken Nation, my friends, and until next time, be unbroken.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, my friends, we will be right back to the show, but I have a question for you. Are you struggling with the impact of childhood trauma? Well, know that you're not alone. I'm here to let you know that I'm starting a brand new weekly coaching group that includes a year of life coaching, accountability, support, habit and goal setting, and more. I'm starting a waitlist for the group right now, and I'm only taking a handful of people. And I'll let you know that through this personalized coaching, we'll work together to help you understand how your childhood trauma has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, emotions, and we'll help you create a roadmap for healing and growth. Right now, you can schedule an absolutely free coaching session with me and get put on the waitlist if you go to thinkunbroken.com. My friends, it's your time to turn your trauma into triumph, breakdowns into breakthroughs, and become the hero of your own story. And I'm here to support you in doing that. Just go to thinkunbroken.com to register for a free coaching call with me and to get put on the wait list for the brand new weekly coaching program.